Okay. The House will be in order. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Good afternoon, Madam Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. At this time, I ask unanimous consent to place the following bills on the unfinished business calendar. House File 2554, 2555, 2557, 2558, 2559, 2560, 2566, 2562, 2342, 2355, 2384, 2487, 2490, 2498, and 2526.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Dallas for chair calls on the gentleman from Harrison.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. At this time, please recognize Representative Nordman for House Files 2552 and 2532, and Representative Wheeler for House File 2437.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Dallas for opening remarks on House File 2552.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 2552 is the Iowa Department of Revenue bill. There are a number of divisions, but I will touch on some of the main points. Some of those points are the director shall destroy useless records on a three-year audit schedule. Most Department of Revenues around the country already do this. Creates mandatory electronic filing for business entity income with incomes more than $250,000 and credit unions, addresses a change in the business property tax credit by simplifying the process and making it more efficient for both the department and taxpayers. This change helps conform this tax credit to those similar to it. And finally, the bill clarifies due dates that fall on holidays and power of attorney authority. I believe this legislation is a good modernization and efficiency piece. Madam Speaker, there is an amendment.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Johnson. Oh, I'm sorry, the clerk will read the amendment.
H8188 by Jacoby of Johnson.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Johnson, Representative Jacoby, for opening comments on H8188.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Would Representative Nordman yield?
Would the gentleman yield?
I will.
Thank you, sir. I'm hoping you help me with my opening comments on the amendment. We recently got a fiscal note on the bill, and generally speaking, I think House File 2552 is a very good bill. My concern is on Division 11, and maybe you could share with the body, what concerns have we heard about What concerns have we heard about Division 11, specifically from cities? And I've also heard from some of our small businesses.
You're asking what we have heard, what issues we've heard?
Yeah, with Division 11.
Well, with talking with League of Cities, who didn't bring an amendment until the day before we ran this on the floor, and this has been around for 2 years, they are concerned with the $125 million standing appropriation if that were to ever not cover the full credit that would fall in the cities.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. You brought up a very interesting point, and that is backfill, the $125 million. I think the history of the body here isn't as solid as it could be when we've made quote-unquote promises to local governments that we would refill their coffers. But this division, this amendment does one important thing. It recognizes that there are many small businesses in the state of Iowa that will be above the threshold of $150,000 a year. What does that mean? It means Division 11, while it makes it easier for the Department of Revenue and quite frankly for us to follow where the dollars are going, where the tax credits are going, what it does inadvertently is it squeezes out some of our small businesses to be eligible for that tax credit. So this amendment simply says, let's make sure we don't forget those small businesses that fall in that $150,000 to $220,000 range when it comes time to apply for that tax credit. The other piece of this bill, which is quite good in my opinion, is the fact that we take it out of the year-to-year rummaging where it circles through the counties to the state and then back to the counties. The positive piece of this division is that it has one direction and that all small businesses are eligible for the tax credit from the get-go. They don't have to do an annual application for the tax credit. My amendment just completes Division 11. It makes sure of two things, that all small businesses receive their fair share of the tax credit, and that our cities and counties are covered until the year 2030. Those are my opening comments, Madam Speaker, and I'm open to questions.
Is there discussion? The chair recognizes the gentleman from Dallas, Representative Nordman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, or Madam Speaker. Representative Jacoby, thank you for the amendment. But this division is to make sure that all taxpayers are receiving this credit in a more streamlined way, and the department would like to be able to do that. So at this time, I'd respectfully ask the body to reject the amendment.
Is there further discussion? The chair recognizes the gentleman from Johnson, Representative Jacoby, for closing comments on H8188.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And just a point of clarification, my amendment does nothing to affect the streamlining that's proposed by the Department of Revenue. We are saying, or the amendment is saying, that we respect all small businesses and we want a fair shake with this tax credit. And with that, Madam Speaker, I move Amendment 8188 and ask for a division and a record.
The gentleman from Johnson requests a division and record, seconded by the gentleman from Polk. This is now a record roll call. The clerk will call, the clerk will open the machines and receive your vote. Saying that. Wills, no. Grassley, no. Meyer of Polk, no. Oh, sorry. Meyer of Polk, aye. Sorry. Maxwell, no. Seek, no. Segrist, no. Bacon, no. Or I, no. Bacon, no. Dunwell, no. Have you all voted? Is that what I say now? Have you all no voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will now pay attention to the vote. With 39 yay and 55 voting nay, the amendment fails to pass. We are now back on House File 2552. Is there discussion? The chair calls on the lady from Scott, Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I served on the subcommittee of this bill, and there really is a difference, and this is a good example of the theory of the policy and then the application that we see in regard to a fiscal note. And with that fiscal note, it does change the way in which we will be appropriating the dollars back to the cities in section or division 11 of the bill. Representative Jacoby tried to fix what we saw as a real issue with the bill, with that division. He wasn't successful with that. My concern is whether or not we will keep our promises. And as we have seen time and time again, we renege on the promises that we make to our cities in regard to property tax relief. And this particular section will also, if we do not fund the $125 million every year, will have a negative impact on our cities. We all have to make the decision that is best for our community and in the best interest of the state as a whole. This section to me is problematic, and I can't support the bill, but this is something that all of you will have to take into consideration yourself. Thank you.
If there's no more discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Dallas for closing comments on House File 2552.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Appreciate the discussion and know that we will continue to work on these issues and the future. But I would like to thank my subcommittee, Representative Bloomingdale and Representative Winkler. And with that, Madam Speaker, I would move House File 2552.
The clerk will now read the bill for the third and The gentleman from Dallas moves the bill be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
House File 5225, a bill for an act relating to the state and local finances and the duties of the procedures of the Department of Revenue, providing for electronic filing, communication, and records, modifying transfer tax remittance and assessments of the property and collection of the debt and the refund for certain fuel taxes and the taxation of pass-through entities, reducing inheritance taxes for unknown heirs, establishing salaries, providing for a fee, making appropriations, and providing penalties, and including effective date, applicability, and retroactive applicability provisions, being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will receive your vote. Wills, aye. Maxwell, aye. Seek, aye.
Height, aye.
Bennett, no. Westrich, aye. Jacobson, is that Gobble? Sorry. Gobble, aye.
Ingalls.
Ingalls, aye. Grassley, aye.
James, no.
James, no. Did I say have you all no voted? Did I say have you all no voted? Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the result of the vote. With 60 voting yay and 34 voting nay, and absent or not voting 6, the bill has received a constitutional majority and declared to have passed the House. Are there any objections to the title? The chair hears none, and the title is agreed to. The chair now recognizes the gentleman from Dallas for opening remarks on House File 2532.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House File 2532 is in regards to sanitary districts and would increase the per diem for members on the boards. It would go from $100 to $200. This is an option for these sanitary districts, not a requirement.
Is there discussion? The chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Hunter.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. You're looking good up there, by the way. This is a good bill, and I would recommend the body to vote yes, but would Representative Nordman yield to a quick question?
Will the gentleman yield?
I will.
Thank you, Representative Nordman. I'm a little bit confused on this. I don't see a companion piece in the Senate at all, and I know their committees are shut down for the week. How are we going to make this a law?
Don't know. We will look at that in a little bit.
Okay. Oh. The big guy has a plan. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Nordman. It was a serious question. As I was looking at this, I couldn't figure out how this was going to go through everything. But in the meantime, Leader Winchettle says he has a plan. So I would recommend everybody vote yes.
Seeing no further discussion, the gentleman from Dallas, Representative Nordman, moves House File 2532. Be read for the last time and placed upon its passage. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the clerk will read.
House File 2532, a bill for an act relating to the compensation of Sanitary District Board of Trustees members be enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will receive your vote. Wills, aye. James, aye. Maxwell, aye. Seek, aye. Bacon, aye. Grassley, aye. Masher, aye. Gobble, aye. Height, aye. Have you now, whoops, did I miss? Oh, sorry. Bennett, aye. Have you now all voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the result of the vote. Those voting aye, 93. Those voting nay, 1. Absent or not voting, 6. The bill gets, having received a constitutional majority, it is declared to have passed the House. Are there any objections to the title? The chair hears none, and the title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Sioux for opening remarks on House File 2437.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, House File 2437 is a simple bill, really. It simply says that if a government is going to treat a secular conduct, secular business, etc., one way, they have to treat religious conduct the same way as well. Those are my opening remarks on this bill.
Is there discussion? Seeing no further, The chair recognizes Representative Meyer of Polk.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I was a little late on the draw there. This is a good bill, and I urge my caucus to support it.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes Representative Wheeler for closing remarks on House File 2437.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, I was expecting to be asked for a couple of examples, but obviously what we saw through the pandemic, whether it was blue state governors, whether it was red state governors, whether it was blue mayors, red mayors, et cetera, we did see some different treatment of religious conduct of all different shapes and sizes. I'll give two examples. One in Mississippi where police surrounded a church parking lot where congregants were attending a drive-in church service that required them to stay in their cars with their windows up. They fined every single one of them $500. However, down the street, they had restaurants that were serving customers with their windows down. In Nevada, they required all churches to be limited to 50 people, while casinos and movie theaters were allowed to operate at 50% capacity. Obviously, we don't feel that that is all right. So thank you. I would move the bill.
The gentleman from Sioux moves the bill be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
House File 2437, a bill for an act prohibiting the burden of persons' free exercise of religion by governmental entities, officials, and employees be enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of passage, vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will receive your vote. Wills, aye. Seek, aye. Grassley, aye. Height, aye. Bacon, aye. Jones, aye. Bennett, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the vote. Those voting aye, 93, voting nay, no, absent or not voting, 6. The bill, having received a constitutional majority, is declared to have passed the House. Are there any objections to the title? The chair hears none, and the title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Good afternoon, Madam Speaker. Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I ask unanimous consent to immediate message the following bills to the Senate, House File 2552, 2532, 2437.
Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I do know there's some points of personal privilege coming up, but before those are in order, I have to make the motion to adjourn. So at this time, if there's no further business to come before the House, I move the House adjourn until Monday, March 21st at 1 p.m.
You've all heard the motion. Is there any other business to come before the body? The chair recognizes the lady from Webster, Representative Meyer. For what purpose do you seek the floor?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Am I in order for a point of personal privilege?
You are in order.
Thank you. As many of you have heard, our colleague in the Senate, Josh Bronsink, passed away on Friday. I was fortunate enough to be able to work with Josh on human resources and HHS budget issues as he was the Senate caucus staff for those committees. Josh was a kind and calming presence, even in difficult negotiations. Many of you also know his wife, Kelly, who works in human resources for the House. I'm going to read his obituary, as it is a great description of him as a person, and written by Minority Leader Comverst. Joshua William Bronzink of Des Moines passed away Friday, March 11th, 2022, following a brief illness with COVID. He was 48 years old. Josh was born in Fort Collins, Colorado on March 5th, 1974, to loving parents Leonard and Linda Bronzink. The oldest of seven children, Josh was the natural caretaker and leader of his beloved siblings, always looking out for them. A graduate of Perry High School, Josh then graduated University of Northern Iowa in 97 with a degree in political science. As someone with a servant's heart and a strategic mind, he built a career of public service, working for organizations that help make life better every day for Iowans. Most of his career was spent working for the Iowa Senate, helping to craft policy and serve Iowans through legislations having to do with human services. But it was his outside work life, that Josh truly made his biggest impact. In addition to his family leadership as the oldest brother, Josh built a family that he treasured. On September 21st, 2002, he married the love of his life, Kelly, at a ceremony in Des Moines. His caring heart and loving spirit live on in his two beloved children, Samuel and Audrey Bronzink. He loved them with all his heart, and his pride in their accomplishments from martial arts and scouts to academics and dance was apparent in any conversation you had with him. Josh was a man of faith, and he lived his life with quiet conviction and fervent hope for better things to come. He was an active member of Westminster Presbyterian Church. There will be a celebration of life at 10:30 a.m. Thursday, March 24th, at the Westminster Presbyterian Church, with burial to follow at Glendale Cemetery. The family will greet friends from 5 to 8, Wednesday, March 23rd, at Hamilton's Funeral Home in Des Moines. Memorial contributions may be directed toward his church. Thank you, Miss.
The chair recognizes the lady from Polk, Representative Confirst.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Would I be in order for a point of personal privilege?
You are in order.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Good afternoon, Madam Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I'd like to say a word or two about my friend Josh as well. Thank you, Representative Meyer, for honoring him. Who says Republicans and Democrats can't get along? The state lost a public servant, Senate Republicans lost a colleague, and I lost a friend last week. Josh Bronzink was one of my family's dearest friends. We disagreed on politics, but wow, life is about so much more than politics, and his passing reminded us of what's really important. Believe it or not, Josh and I did talk politics quite a bit. He loved his work for the Senate Republicans, and he loved working for the people of Iowa. He truly believed that we can make life better for Iowans, and he worked every day to make that happen. On that, we certainly agree. Two brief stories. My swearing-in day, I was on the floor, I was down by the well as we were milling about, and he was over here, and I said, "What are you doing over here?" And he said, "I'm here to congratulate you." And one of my Republican colleagues walked by, and I said, "Oh no, it's okay, you don't have to acknowledge me right now." And he said, "Well, you're not a leper, you're just a Democrat." No comments from any of my colleagues. And he gave me a hug on the House floor and said, "Congratulations." My third text when I became minority leader was from Josh, congratulating me and saying that I would do a great job. Josh was one of the most kind-hearted and deep-thinking souls I have ever known. He cared a lot and he cared deeply. We like to say we knew him when? Before he was married, before he was a dad. He and my husband played plenty of rounds of golf, once ending up in the hospital with a busted kneecap, something I wasn't aware could happen during a golf game, but I think there was beer involved. Weekly volleyball games, road trips, and concerts. Josh was always there for Lee, and Lee was always there for Josh, even when life got busy and kids made golf games a little tougher. Josh and Kelly came over for game nights and dinners and barbecues. When our daughter was born almost 22 years ago, Josh and Kelly were among the first to drop off a casserole. I don't think Josh made the casserole, but he dropped it off. We spent many New Year's Eves together, including a special one in 2001. That night, we were at dinner on the south side, and each couple said we had really exciting news. We shared that we were going to have another baby. They shared that they were going to get married. Less than a year later, our daughter was their flower girl, and our newborn cried all through the ceremony. Sorry about that. Since then, it has been a whirlwind. Birthday parties, 4th of July, everyday gatherings, Cubs games, the birth of his two amazing kids, Samuel and Audrey. There are milestones as well, graduation parties. Josh and Kelly were the friends who came to the kids' birthday party early and stayed late to help set up and to help clean up. Josh and Kelly were there for us for the before and the after. So now it's our turn to be there for the after for Kelly, Sam, and Audrey. We'll be there to help them pick up the pieces, to remember Josh, and to keep his memory alive, and to honor his commitment to family and to service. This place is about more than politics. It's about people. It's about friendships. And it shouldn't take a loss to remind us of that. But I will always remember the friendship and cherish Josh Bronzing. Thank you.
The chair recognizes the lady from Lynn, Representative Running Markwart.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the Iowa House. I think it is really important to cherish each other each day we have, celebrate the good things. Today's St. Patrick's Day. It's good that we can all celebrate that together. But there's another very important celebration I would just like you to join with me. My dear friend of over 20 years and colleague currently, Representative Tracy Ellert, it's her birthday today. And so I would like to ask the House if you could stand with me and give her a round of applause for reaching this milestone.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Story, Representative Bacon. For which purpose do you seek the floor?
I seek the floor for a point of personal privilege.
You are in order.
Thank you. Not only is it Representative's birthday today, but one of our doormen has reached the magic 88 mark, and his name is, we all know him as Frank Morrow. We call him our favorite doormat. No offense to the others, but Frank, are you still up there? Hey, there he is. Happy birthday, Frank.
Seeing no further business to come before the body, you have all heard the motion by the gentleman from Harris. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say nay.
No.
The ayes appear to have it, the ayes do have it, and the House is adjourned. Oh.